must rise, so a precious cornerstone in heaven be then, shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The fatal delusion of trusting political salvation. This, of course, is a subject that I've been talking about last couple of broadcasts, and it's based on this article by Robert McCurry, and he's documented from many sources about the erosion of our religious freedom and our democratic system and our freedom of speech, plus the moral decline of our country. Now, if they take away our freedoms, then they take away our ability to support the nation of Israel, and they take away our freedom to worship the Lord God according to the Holy Scriptures. And then what will happen eventually is some other religion will start to dominate the scene in this country, and then before you know it, all of our freedoms will be gone, and then we'll be forced to follow some other religion. Now, here's the difference between America and other countries. If you look at the Islamic countries, you have to believe the way they do. Otherwise, you will go to jail. In some cases, they will kill you if they catch you proselytizing somebody of another religion. But in this country, we have liberty of conscience. But even so, you can worship any way you please. This worship, ultimately, is not forced upon you. You have the right, the freedom, to make your own decision. We're not going to force you to be born again. I wish I had the power to make everyone born again and saved by the blood of Jesus. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But if I was able to do that, then salvation wouldn't be salvation. It wouldn't be a free gift. You have to make your own decision. But your exercising of your constitutional right to believe what you want as far as your conscience of liberty is concerned, was never intended to allow people to simply undermine the Constitution of the United States, which clearly demonstrates it as our country as a Christian country based on Christian principles, based on the Bible. Now, once something in this culture, our culture, society, or any other religion starts to violate that, then we cannot tolerate that. We'll not force you now to believe the way we believe as far as faith, but there is moral principles. There are absolutes. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, still does not give you the right to be a sodomite. Just because you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, still does not give you the liberty or freedom to be an adulterer or a fornicator. No siree. These are moral laws. They apply regardless of what you believe. And this is the foundation of our country. And now, the Bush administration promotes global homosexual activism. White House hid ambassador's homosexuality until after his confirmation. According to this article I'm reading from Robert McCurry, September 20th, 2001, Washington, D.C., the leader of a pro-family organization based in Virginia said George W. Bush betrayed American values by sending two homosexuals to the American embassy in Romania. Joel Clover, president of Family Policy, made his remarks after learning that Bush had dispatched a homosexual to be United States ambassador to Romania and was sending his partner to go with him. Oh, brother. Just 1 week after terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, Secretary of State Colin Powell administered the oath of office to homosexual Michael E. Guest to be the second open homosexual ever to represent America as a national ambassador. Now let me interject something here. It wouldn't matter necessarily what the fella believed, but if he's immoral, and he surely is immoral because he's a sodomite, he's a pervert, and therefore he does not and should not be able to represent a moral country that is against sodomy historically and constitutionally and based on the Bible principle of morality. This man does not represent what our country is all about. And so, there is absolutely a difference between liberty of conscience and the freedom to be immoral. That will not be tolerated and ought not to be tolerated by any government. In fact, the Bible even says in the New Testament that God has ordained the government, the powers to be his ministers to punish the evildoers. So, this is God instituted government to begin with. But government doesn't make their own rules now. Government bases their legislation on Bible principles. I continue. The first, James Hormel, was appointed ambassador to Luxembourg by Bill Clinton after 7 years of opposition from conservative Republicans to the Senate. Clinton had to use an executive privilege to give Hormel an emergency appointment while the Senate was not in session. Guest was confirmed on a voice vote by the Senate without any debate. Guest's smooth confirmation process is due at least in part to manipulative tactics on the part of the Bush administration. According to an article published in the Washington Blade on September the 22nd, homosexual activist Kevin Ivers worked in concert with White House officials to hide Guest's immoral lifestyle. The homosexual newspaper reports Ivers said Bush administration officials knew Guest was gay. Or gay is, by the way, you know, that's another thing that bothers me. Why are they using a word gay? You know, the word gay was a nice word before the sodomites started to say they were gay. Let me tell you, the word gay simply means happy. And they have taken a good word and perverted it. Yes, they sure have. They're not gay, folks. They're perverts. Sexual perverts. And that's the way it ought to be said. Anyhow, that the Bush administration officials knew that Guest was homosexual and his sexual orientation was widely known at the State Department, where he had been a member of a sodomite employee group called Gays and Lesbians in Foreign Affairs Agencies. According to The Blade, nothing was said about Guest's sexual orientation during his July 1st confirmation hearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And the White House did not mention that Guest is, quote-unquote, gay in his own announcement of his nomination on June 19th. Now, you mean to tell me that the military had passed this policy under Clinton, I believe it was under Clinton, that the no-tell, no-ask policy of sodomites in the military. And now they know very well that this guy is a sodomite, and he makes no bones about being a sodomite, and they put him in a government position. This is hypocrisy. I continue now. Clover questioned the integrity of the Bush administration for keeping Guest's homosexuality a secret until after his confirmation was certain. He said, "It's very disconcerting to see a president who calls himself a Christian hiding grossly immoral conduct of a nominee, so Senate members aren't able to advise and consent with full knowledge." Wake up! Wake up, pastors! Wake up, Bible-believing Christians! Wake up, America! Wake up! We are in trouble. The article continues with the title, "Bush in Bed with Homosexuals." By now, we have a clear record on the Bush administration in regard to homosexuality. In fact, that's even a nice way to say it. Why don't you just use the Bible term and call them sodomites? The record reveals that President Bush is more than a sympathetic to the homosexual agenda. One could even argue that Bush has become, or always was, a proud promoter of that agenda. Here is the record. You judge for yourself. Number one, candidate George W. Bush appointed four openly homosexual gay rights advocates to his presidential campaign steering committee. According to the homosexual group Log Cabin Republicans, scores of Bush state steering committee members and campaign volunteers were homosexuals. Number two, perhaps this explains why hundreds of homosexuals gathered in Washington, D.C. last weekend to celebrate the achievements and leadership of George W. Bush. It also helps explain why Rich Tafel, executive director of Log Cabin Republicans, said, "We want the country to know that we are behind our president and administration." Number three, on December 21, 2001, President Bush signed a historic bill, which for the first time allows the District of Columbia government to fund a program that will give domestic partners of city employees access to health benefits. Remember, Bush insisted that openly homosexual Congressman Jim Colby of Arizona be given a prominent speaking role as the Republican National Convention It was Colby who introduced the amendment lifting the ban on gay partner benefits in D.C. See what happens when you reap what you sow? Number four, Bush named Scott Everett, a prominent homosexual activist, to head the White House AIDS office, even though he had absolutely no experience dealing with public health issues. Number five, Bush appointed another homosexual activist, Donald Capocia, to the U.S. Commission on Fine Arts. Number six, Bush appointed openly homosexual Michael Guest as ambassador to Romania. Since then, Bush has decided to leave in place a Clinton policy that calls for supporting the unmarried partners of U.S. Foreign Service workers. This allows guests living lover to live in the U.S. Embassy in Bucharest and allows him to join guests at official embassy functions. Oh, I'm ready to throw up. If you're not ready to throw up, you need to throw up because this is outrageous. What are we teaching our children? We're teaching our children that sodomy is a acceptable lifestyle. According to the scriptures, it is unacceptable. It is repugnant to the nostrils of God. It is wickedness of the highest order. It is an abomination to God. And we are allowing it to continue. And if you look through history and in the Bible, any time a country allowed sodomy to permeate their society, God judged it. All you have to do is look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God brought down brimstone and fire upon that society and utterly destroyed it. There is no remembrance of that country to this day. Number one, the article says, coming back rather to number seven, Bush presided over the appointment of homosexual activist Stephen Hurwitz to oversee the choice of civilian personnel at the Pentagon. Number eight, Bush has not reversed a single pro-homosexual policy instituted by former President Bill Clinton, not even one. Number nine, the Bush administration posted a job for what is called a gay and lesbian program specialist at the Department of Agriculture. Number 10, Bush appointed the ardently pro-homosexual governor of Massachusetts, Paul Soluzzi, as U.S. ambassador to Canada. Bush, number 11 here, Bush appointed Louis Eisenberg to become the new GOP chief fundraiser. Eisenberg has a long history of supporting pro-homosexual and pro-abortion candidates. Number 12, the Washington Times reported, the Bush administration has joined European delegates to an upcoming UN summit on children in moving to recognize families in various forms, including unmarried cohabiting couples and homosexual partners. Well, my dear President, have you bothered to ask the majority of those who voted you in to government as our president how they feel about this? I'm going to tell you right now, this is outrageous. If the American people knew that you were going to do all this, the majority of those who voted for you would have not voted for you. They wouldn't have voted for Clinton either. I'll tell you what, we need a third party that stands for righteousness based on our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bible. Now that is what ought to be done. And until that's done, we are in big, big trouble. I predict in this country that soon enough, we will have a sodomite as the president or vice president of the United States of America. We'll have a sodomite sitting on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine how that will pervert justice and judgment, equity? I'm talking about spiritual equity in this country. Yes, we are out of balance. We are allowing perversion and morality to start dominating our country. You know what's going to happen? It's going to destroy us. Absolutely destroy us. And it's going to permit and encourage others to get involved in this wickedness. It will become and is a canker sore. It is contagious. It is defiling our country. It is polluting the backbone of our country. You say, Dr. Freed, why are you slowing down? There's nothing wrong with this recording. I am simply disappointed. I am simply saddened. You ought to be too. You ought to be outraged. You might say, why are you picking on the sodomites so much? I tell you what, I pick on anybody that would be immoral. If President Bush had committed adultery, we need to kick him out, impeach him. It's incredible that Clinton was in office like he was with all that adultery and all that stuff that was going on. And I'll tell you right now, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. The impropriety, things that he even admitted himself. This is outrageous. Nobody who is immoral should be allowed to preside over the well-being of our country. Nobody. I don't care how famous he is. I don't care how great he is in other parts. He should not be allowed to be our leader. A conservative group released a statement regarding the seriousness of what is going on and said President George Bush is just another Bill Clinton on a homosexual rights issue. Perhaps Log Cabin spokesman Rich Tefel best summarized the situation. He said, he, Bush, has a vision of a different Republican Party. If homosexual activists such as Tefel can see the real George W. Bush, why cannot Christian conservatives? Thanks again to Chuck Baldwin who documented this. Again, the article pleads with the pastors, wake up! Pleads with the Bible-believing Christians, wake up! Pleads with America, wake up! And folks, it doesn't get any better. White House homosexual meeting. President Bill Clinton met personally with gay movement leaders at the White House in 1993. The first time any U.S. president had held such a meeting, Clinton met on a number of other occasions with gay leaders at the White House and in various cities during his 8 years in office. About 50 leaders of the national gay group Log Cabin Republicans attended a White House briefing on April 18, 2002 at the invitation of the Bush administration. Representing the first time such a meeting has been held in a Republican administration, United States Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill hosted a separate briefing for Log Cabin officials that same day at the Treasury Department where he discussed President Bush's economic policies, according to Log Cabin spokesperson Kevin Avers. He said the running theme of these meetings was to acknowledge that we have been a part of their team, Avir said. They feel we have a role to play in advancing the administration's policies. They touched on all issues of importance to the administration, including AIDS and judicial nominations, Avir said in recounting the briefing by White House officials for Log Cabin leaders. So you're telling me then, now President Bush is advocating sodomy? He's putting his stamp of approval on it? Well, that's sure the appearance, folks. In a separate briefing at the Treasury Department, O'Neill reviewed U.S. economic policy and noted that corporations and other private sector employers were continuing to make progress in providing domestic partner benefits for their employees, Alvarez said. See what happens? The government starts doing it. Now the companies in America start doing it. I almost feel like having a moment of silence. You say, who died? Well, the moral fabric of our country is dying right before our very eyes. And said the Log Cabin officials committed themselves to play an active role in helping the administration push through the Democratic-controlled Senate, a large number of the president's nominations of federal judges. Oh, that'll be great. Get these sodomites as federal judges, and then they'll continue to promote it and allow it to permeate our whole society. And soon enough, it'll be against the law for churches to not allow sodomites to be members of their churches. You know, I tell you, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Many of these judges have excellent records on gay issues, Avir said. We will be putting out press releases highlighting the good judges. Oh, so now the judges that promote sodomy or are sodomites are considered good judges. And the reasons why gays should support them, Harveyers continued to say. We have worked hard to be on the inside and part of the Republican team, and now we have made it, said Paul Wright, president of the Log Cabin Republicans, Michigan Lower Peninsula Chapter. At the White House and on the Hill, from the Republican leadership, we heard that Log Cabin is on the team. Wright said, as part of the Republican team, we have responsibility to deliver, and we're making it our top priority. This quoted from the Washington Blade. I hope you're as shocked as I am. And if you're not shocked, you're more in trouble than I thought. Now don't leave, don't turn your dial, sit tight, stay in your car, stay in the kitchen, stay in your office, don't leave, there's more good stuff coming your way. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. Thank you.
covenant and shows his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried. I'm so happy that you have stayed with us for the last half of this broadcast. And my, are we getting into some very, very, well, perhaps controversial subjects today. And we have done that because this is needful in a day in which our freedoms, our religious freedoms, our freedoms of having a country based on moral standards of the Bible are quickly eroding. They are vanishing from the face of this earth, especially America. Now, there are many of you, perhaps even millions, who are listening to this broadcast around the world and saying, well, that's America, and we don't have that kind of problem. Well, you may not have that kind of problem, but you got other problems that we don't have. And I'll tell you one thing, the whole world is in a mess. Even in Israel, while tens of thousands are listening to my voice, Israel is a very exercising promiscuity in moral issues. They are very immoral country. I ought to know, I live there. Sure, there's always a segment of each society that wants to do right according to Bible principles, but sodomy is permitted there, prostitution is permitted there, they got an epidemic there of really sexual slavery. It's been reported, and I'm not gonna make excuse for the country. That's my primary love is Israel because I'm a Jew, but I love my country America. And I'm patriotic, and I'll tell you one thing, any country that allows that kind of stuff, it ought to be condemned, it ought to not be promoted, we ought to protest against it. And if you're an Israeli listening to my voice, you should not stand for that immorality. It's going to erode your fabric to bring the nation of Israel to repentance. Now, you might be there in Afghanistan. You might be in Pakistan. You might be in Saudi Arabia. Said, we don't have problems like that. Well, you have problems like that. It's just not so public. But you got other problems. You are preventing Bible-believing Christians to worship according to the Scriptures. You put them in jail. You torture them. You create all kinds of unbearable environments. There is no religious freedom. There is no freedom of the press. There is no freedom of speech in your country. And I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't want to live under that kind of scenario either. No matter how you look at it, this world is in a mess. It's in a spiritual mess. And the only one that's going to get it right, the only one that's going to bring true, true peace and true tranquility and true liberty and true morality and true righteousness is when the Son of the Living God, the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, reigns upon this earth. And then there'll be a theocracy, and there will really be the kind of government we're longing for. But until he comes, we just got to make the best of it and preach the truth and tell how best we can see our governments run according to Bible principles. Yes, indeed. What I'm saying affects all countries of the world. And the freedoms that the foundation of America ought to be the foundation of your country, Yes, we are imperfect. We have problems, serious problems, and they're not getting any better. But if our government would have kept the course of the heartbeat, the nature of what our Constitution stood for, and if it was continued based on Bible principles, we wouldn't be in a mess we are today. Now, you can change that by following the principles of democracy and base it on the scriptures. You'll be a lot better off than where we are today in America. But all in all, even though, despite all the wickedness and despite the epidemic of all kinds of immorality permeating our country, America, we are still, despite all of these shortcomings, I repeat, we are still the best country in the world. And I'm doing my best to preserve what good liberty we have and what good moral principles we still have in this country. We still have a lot of godly judges, and we have some godly senators who love God and love Jesus Christ and know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. We still have godly teachers in colleges of our nation. We still have godly people in all forms and walks of life who are trying to get our country back on target and get them back on following the vision of our forefathers. And so I continue now with this terrible state in which we are in regarding our government. And I, of course, I'm highlighting the very negative parts of our government. This is not to say there's not good things going on, and some encouraging things that are going on. But if we lose sight of the negative things, the bad things, the wicked things, what's going to happen is the wicked things are going to take over and dominate totally any good or righteous things that are coming out of the Bush administration. And whatever good does come out of Bush administration is not to anybody's credit, but to the moral principles and backbone of the United States of America. Bush appoints 4 more homosexual activists. President Bush has appointed 4 more Republican homosexual activists to post in his administration, a homosexual newspaper reports. The 4 men are all active with a Republican so-called gay activist group, Log Cabin Republicans. According to the Washington Blade, they are, according to the Blade, Asian affairs expert Mark Groombridge as State Department Special Assistant to John Bolton, Under Secretary Arms Control and International Security. Groombridge, a member of the Log Cabin Republicans of D.C., and the homosexual libertarian group Gays and Lesbians for Individual Liberties, is a China specialist whose doctoral dissertation examined the restructuring of China state-owned enterprises, the Blade reported. Stephen Fong, former president of Log Cabin Republicans of San Francisco, to a post with the Federal Transit Administration, an arm of the Department of Transportation. Another one, Todd Burnett and Jim Wiggins, to positions at the Environmental Protection Agency. Burnett is a former advisor to liberal Republican and former Los Angeles Mayor Richard Riordan, the Blade reports that the White House did not mention the homosexuality of the latest 4 in officially announcing their appointments by the president. White House Press Secretary Ari Fletcher has said that a person's sexual orientation is not relevant as long as he has the job qualifications for a position. But pro-family critics contend that the administration is pandering to homosexual activist Republicans and thus helping to mainstream homosexuality. That's right. That's right. Ironically, the log cabin Republicans strongly supported John McCain and not Bush during the GOP presidential primary and even ran campaign ads against Bush. Bush senior advisor Karl Rove is engaged in a political tightrope act, reaching out simultaneously to GOP homosexual activists and to the party's conservative pro-family grassroots who oppose homosexuality as sinful. Rove's high wire act may be getting more perilous. The Blade reports that homosexual columnist Hastings Wyman, who first reported the four gay appointments, citing Republican sources, says that at least 15 more gay appointees are either in the Bush administration pipeline or are slowly working their way out of the closet. According to Peter J. LaBarbera, Culture and Family Institute, wake up, pastors. Wake up, Bible-believing Christians. Wake up, America. Well, you might say, Dr. Freed, give me some Bible against sodomy and homosexuality. I'm so glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Hey, folks, that's sodomy. Among the other things that God says will not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It baffles my mind that there are so-called churches, synagogues, and all kinds of religious institutions who have not only perverted lifestyle members, but leaders, pastors, and rabbis, all this stuff going on out there, and they're sodomites. They're sodomites. And they all think they're getting to heaven when God says no way are they getting to heaven. In 1 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that's sodomy, for men stealers, that's kidnapping and even slavery, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. How much clearer do you need? Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Listen, the United States of America and many other countries are becoming like Rome. That's right, Rome. Paul knew that this stuff was going on there in the Empire of Rome. He said by inspiration of God in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. And let me tell you, these sodomites out there, it's not simply a perverted lifestyle. It includes all kinds of things, part of the package, you might say. For the Bible says these kinds of people are being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, Do you realize that sodomy is a capital crime and worthy of death? Yes, that's what the Bible says now. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. And the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible is our authority. Once again, I read, who knowing the judgment of God, that it which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's right. To vile affections. What does it mean, vile affections? Vile, shameless, sensual, indulgence, such as cannot now be named. The sodomy referred to here was common in the first century among the Romans and is often spoken of without a sense of shame by their writers. It was prohibited neither by religion nor law and was acknowledged without shame. Seems to be happening again today in the United States of America and other countries. And you say, so what should we do? Should we go out there and kill the sodomites? Chop the heads off, stone them? Well, that's not our job to do that. That's the government's job, is to punish the evildoer and to bring them under judgment against these crimes. It is a crime to be a sodomite, to engage in sodomy. It is not my job to do that. It is the job of government. So don't try to confuse the issue. And don't try to use what I'm saying to go there and beat up a poor sinner sodomite. Because if you're going to do that, you ought to beat up the idolaters and the fornicators and the liars and the murderers. You ought to beat them up. But of course, it's not our responsibility to do that. We are simply to proclaim the truth from the Word of God, and it's up to government to legislate righteousness. Now, if you go out and harm a sodomite or harm somebody that is considered to be of this nature, you are just as wrong as they are. And you ought to be put in jail, or you ought to be punished. That's right. I am preaching righteousness, and our government needs to get back to it. Simple as that. Again, if you're living such a wicked lifestyle, and you know in your heart that this is wicked, and you know that you ought to get out of it, and you know that it's going to condemn you by God Almighty, there's hope for you. God is merciful. God will forgive you. But you're going to have to be willing to forsake your wicked lifestyle. You're going to have to be willing to forsake it. And once God saves you and you become born again, you have the power to overcome it. Now, let me finish this article. Bush advances legacy of bad decisions, broken promises, and dead babies. Though we are not surprised by the president's recent decision to fund stem cell research on preborn children killed by abortion, we are definitely outraged, said Judy Brown of American Life League. The Bush administration continues to prove that the value they place on innocent human life is exactly zero, according now to the American Life League, pro-lifers, and the new Republican Congress. It is sad to report that pro-life groups are salivating about the new pro-life Congress, poor souls. Their drooling will likely be in vain. I have it from high Republican places that the party will not really meaningfully pursue an anti-abortion agenda. There are too many liabilities for Republicans to give anything more than lip service to pro-lifers. Do not misunderstand me. I am pro-life, and I wish that the Republican Party would make the struggle against child murder central in its effort, but I know they will not. There are too many suburban Republican women with money who would be turned off totally. There are too many Republican men who believe that abortion is only wrong for white babies, while an anti-abortion victory would mean more minority babies needing to be fed at the public trough. There are too many men who fear the consequences of live babies complicating their lives for at least 18 years of child support. There are too many Republican doctors who perform abortions. There are too many Republicans who benefit from abortion. One way or another, there are too many Republicans whose pro-life position is a preference, not a conviction. According now to Norman Ravitch, PhD, two good reports. Wake up, America. Wake up, pastors. Wake up, Bible-believing Christians. The dominant Christian political delusion today, the dominant Christian political delusion today is that Republicans represent some improvement over Democrats when it comes to seeing the will of God defended and implemented in America. This ability of Christians to lend their faith to unfounded propositions like this one does nothing but convince people that Jesus Christ is a fantasy and that Christians are exceedingly naive. How can the world be expected to take biblical claims about Jesus Christ seriously when his followers lend themselves political fantasies and everyone else on earth knows is false and self-serving? The last 30 years of America's political history proves that there is no real difference between either of the major political parties when it comes to concern and implementing the will of God in America. The differences are in their rhetoric, but not in practice. Wake up, pastors. Wake up, Christians. Wake up, America. The Bible says in Psalms 146, verses 3 to 4, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.